Good to be with you once again. You know, technology is an amazing thing, isn't it? The other day, I was getting on my Facebook, and I noticed I had a Facebook memory. This Facebook memory went back 6 years, and I realized that 6 years ago this week, the Broncos landed free agent Peyton Manning. I remember that day. I was so excited. I watched every sports center that ran that day. I watched all of the highlights. I saw everything that was going on. I knew the details of the signing. I was excited. I thought that our Savior had come. It was a sure thing. It was a sure thing. There was excitement. There was anticipation. We didn't care what surgery he was coming out of. We finally had hope that the Denver Broncos could once again, with Peyton Manning on the field and Tim Tebow on the sidelines praying, win a Super Bowl. You know, it went a little bit differently than we originally thought. Just a couple of years later, we found ourselves in the Super Bowl, getting blown out. Yeah. But I am happy to say that I have a Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champs shirt in my closet today. And Al, isn't that a great, great feeling? As much as a football team that you root for can give you a sense of pride and a sense of victory, there are much bigger things in life. There are bigger battles to fight. There are higher hills to climb, tougher roads to travel. And we look back today being Palm Sunday, we see another picture in time of a day when hope entered in, a day of excitement and anticipation. They would receive their victory, but it would take place in a way that was far from expected. We see that today in the footsteps that Jesus walked, where love would lead. John tells us in the 12th chapter of his gospel, starting with the 12th verse, says, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified, they recognized that these things that had been written about him, that these things had been done to him." You see, as we look at Palm Sunday, as we celebrate the day that Christ came into Jerusalem, in this day there was such joy brought to God's people as they saw Jesus riding in. It was the highest point of Jesus' popularity as he showed himself as the promised Messiah, the promised king that was to come to free his people. They shouted in victory, "Hosanna," meaning, "Save us, Lord." For the first time in his ministry, Jesus was really recognized for who he was and what he brought. Jesus brought hope as he came. The one who comes in the name of the Lord, King of Israel. We see that he is recognized as the Son of David. It would be the fulfillment of God's promises, the Savior, the one whose kingdom would never end. They see in Jesus the culmination of what we read in prophecies past in Zechariah about God's promised Savior. See, your king is coming seated on the colt of a donkey. Jesus enters in this day under the fanfare that he rightfully deserved from the beginning. We look at the joy and the celebration of Palm Sunday. We should be excited for the day that Jesus Christ took steps closer to finishing His work. As He came closer to His call that He came to this world to fulfill. He would bring us salvation. He would save His people. But it would be a different path than most would assume. You see, Jesus Christ and His steps brought us closer to being free, not from captivity, not free from oppression to a government, but bringing us closer to being free from our sin. It didn't work the underdog story. Jesus' victory wouldn't come with touchdowns, with confetti, with fireworks. Instead, the story of Jesus' victory would come at what looked like defeat. And the story of Him being glorified would look much more like Him humbling Himself, becoming obedient to death. Death on a cross. Today I want to celebrate. But today I also want to continue the story past the triumphal entry. I want to move past the shouts of joy and jubilation. Jesus was led to come into Jerusalem during the Jewish festival of Passover. But in just days, this victorious king that entered the streets would be led by the same love to hang on a cross, completing its unorthodox victory. John picks up the story once again in chapter 13. In another time reserved for celebration, but turned into a time of remembrance for where love would lead Jesus Christ. In the 13th chapter, starting from the beginning, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus would go to the Father. Jesus knew the hour had come for Him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and at the time, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had wrapped around Him. This is how Jesus would show His victory. This is how Christ would display the power that God had put under Him. He would take off His outer clothing and wrap a towel around His waist. This is the way that Jesus taught. This is the way that Jesus led. This is the way that Jesus would walk on His journey to the cross. This was radically different than what any other kingdom had ever taken to be established. This was the path that no king looking to conquer the world would ever imagine walking. From riding a donkey through the streets of Jerusalem to shouts and cheers and people laying off their coats in front of Him, we see Jesus now washing the dirty feet of the ones who followed him in humility. With love and with peace. He brought hope that would make the crowds cheer. He brought a revolution, an uprising, an upside down kingdom that no one could anticipate. It would make the leaders of the day quake. He held an authority that kings recognized. And although there were no charges against him, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, was sentenced to a criminal's death. Before his trial, he takes this night to show his friends how they are to lead when it comes time for him to leave. This night will be the last time that Jesus is with all 12 of the men he called to be his disciples. And there, Jesus reveals with bread and with wine the love that he has for all people. In this act of service, Jesus shows love and he shows forgiveness. As Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet, we see who sits at the table with him. Peter, as we see soon after, sits nearby. Peter promises his Lord, his Savior, his best friend, that he would lay down his life to follow him. But Jesus already knows the painful denial that will take place three times when Peter's put to the test. Still, Peter's feet are washed. Judas Iscariot sits at the table as well. Jesus tells the knowledge that he has, that there will be one who will hand him over to be killed. Still, Judas's feet are washed. As the events of the Last Supper unfold, I think we can recognize ourselves at the table. Sitting around with our feet dirty from the places that we've been. Some of us, like Peter, come here today telling ourselves that we would willingly give our lives for Jesus Christ. That we would follow him to the death. But in the times when we're put to the test, we step out those doors and we see a little bit more value in our own lives and the ways that we want to continue on living, not really willing to die to ourselves. Some of us, like Judas, find ourselves here each week knowing already that once we leave, we walk back into the empty riches that come with the ways of the world. Many of us find ourselves where the crowd had. We celebrate and we shout, "Hosanna, save us, Lord." We celebrate his entry one day and the next with our actions, with our choices, with our chains, we shout back, "Crucify him." All of us need to be washed like Peter. We beg like Peter, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. We come to Jesus knowing that, yes, our feet need to be washed. The ways that we walk, the places we go, the things that we do, our actions need to be cleansed by Jesus. I need Christ to rinse my hands of the filth that covers. I need his power to be what's on display in my actions. I need Jesus to cleanse my head. I need him to make my thoughts pure. I need him to give me an attitude of humility, a transformation of love, and an alteration of my will to be his. The good news that I have to share with you today is that Christ has already paid the price. He's already done his work. He offers cleansing. He's fulfilled our needs. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was a journey to the cross. It was a way to wash those who would choose to follow him. It was a street that led to salvation for the world. It was a path to our purification. It was a road to a relationship with God. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace." Who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." How appropriate is it here that we see Jesus in this moment of surrender, in this moment of humility. The ones whose feet are that bring good news. The Prince of Peace. The feet of the one that brings the salvation that we proclaim. The feet of the one who reigns with God. It is he who washes the disciples' feet. Who washes us with his Spirit. All done, John tells us, having loved his own who are in the world, he loves them to the end. Through the betrayal, through the denial, through the wounds, through each step that Jesus would take to the cross, he walked with grace. He walked with forgiveness. He walked where love led. Today we celebrate the triumphal entry. Jesus entered in and he brought victory. Through his death, he brought an end to all sin. Through his life, 3 days later, defeating the shame and removing the stain that sin has left on this world, Jesus offers us life today. If you want to accept the cleansing that Jesus offers, if you want to choose today to die to yourself and to live for Christ, to celebrate him entering into this world, but also the chance that we have for him to enter into our hearts so that we live like him. I invite you today, as we get ready to sing our last song, to come to give your life to him in baptism. He's ready to enter into your life to make you clean. Love leads to the cross. Will you choose today to take up your own and to follow in Jesus' footsteps? Will you pray with me?